Welcome in, everyone. Today we have James G., who serves as an elder here at Southwestern Christian Church. James, would you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I am a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. I am married to my wonderful wife, Tori, for many years now. We have three sons, and we have a grandson and three granddaughters. And
So where are you from originally?
I was born in Phoenix, Arizona. I moved here several years ago, and my wife and I, we liked it so much here. We liked the people that this is where we wanted to raise our boys.
Okay. You said several years ago. Decades, 10 years ago?
Yeah, decades, what? Yeah.
Like, okay, so you've been here a while. You're kind of a transplant now.
42 years.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say you're from Custer County area anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why Weatherford? Why Southwestern?
Why Southwestern? Why do we attend church here?
Yeah. I mean, what was the draw for Southwestern? Why did you land here? Tell us a little bit about that.
We were looking for a church family that believed in the Word of God. And so naturally just got online and started looking. And this church, we could tell, was into ministry. And that is what Christ calls us to do, is to minister to one another. And so we just started coming, and after about a month, we decided to join.
When you said that you were from Arizona, I think you said originally, and, mm-hmm. and before you moved out here to Oklahoma, can you go back through, how did you know about Jesus? What was that like? Did you go to church when you were a kid?
Yeah, we were raised in a little small denominational church. Probably 30 to 40 members, something like that. And that's where we grew up. As time went along, we were in and out of church, but we knew that that Christ was our Lord and Savior. And
So the little denominational, you said a little denominational church, is that what you said?
Yeah, non-denominational.
Non-denominational church, okay. And so what are you looking for when you go online and you find Southwestern? You're looking for a church that's focused on ministry. What else are you looking for?
The Word of God, what the Word of God says, a church that believes that that it's the breath of God, that His Holy Word is from Him. And that was one of the things that we looked at naturally. And then the church in the community, what did they do? And through their ministries that they had, that's why we decided to try Southwestern Christian Church.
Okay. All right. Well, we're glad you're here. Mm-hmm. How long have you been here now?
About 3.5 years.
Okay. You served as a chairman of the elder the last year mm-hmm. since you've been here. Can you tell us about leadership for a second? So, example, speak to leadership in general in society. What does leadership look like in the local church? And then, if you can, what does leadership look like here at Southwestern?
Well, leadership, you know, in our secular world, unfortunately, fewer and fewer people are becoming leaders because I believe that they, selfishness and maybe pride, people are not willing to serve. And because of their self-centeredness, we want to do our own thing, and we don't want to follow Christ. So I think that that's just what's happening in our society and in this country.
You think there's a selfishness issue?
Yeah, I really do. In the past, we've had people that have stepped up and served. They've given of themselves and their time and effort, and we just have fewer and fewer people doing that.
Yeah, I would agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where do you see the church being different? One of the things we've talked about is leadership in the church, and if we see the the lack of leadership, if you will, in society and a more selfishness in society, how has the church been able to influence the society? Or the opposite end of that, I guess, or the other side of that coin is society beginning to influence the church when it comes to leadership?
Well, unfortunately, society has influenced the church's ideas and ethics and morals. And it's a lack of people knowing what Scripture says.
Mm.
So as people reading less and less of God's Word and are unwilling to listen to other godly mentors in their lives, then they have an idea of the way things should be, and it's not what God has intended for us. In God's Word, He has told us everything we need to know.
Would you, when you say that there is a lack of Bible knowledge in society,
mm-hmm.
Has that been your experience everywhere you've been?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a lazy thing? Is that a lack of effort? What is the reason that, I mean, we have the leather bound, as you said, this is the breath of God, the Word of God. No secrets. You know, God's going to tell us what God wants to tell us. He's not going to keep anything from us, at least what we need to know, not necessarily what we want to know, but what we need to know. So why is it that we don't take the time, and I'll say we, generally, people in general, why don't we take the time and effort to educate ourselves when we have that great resource in front of us?
Oh, it's probably because we think we're a little smarter than everyone else. Why do we need God whenever we're so smart as a society? And the church is no different. We lack wise, godly counsel. We don't listen to that. And that's something that we must do, is to listen to wise, godly counsel and to mentor one another.
Mm-hmm.
In God's Word.
Mm.
Until we do that, we'll just continue to spiral into sin in this world.
One of the things, and I'll ask you this as a chairman of the elders, one of the things that we've set out to do here at Southwestern this last year has been to focus on that Bible aspect, that we want to be people of the Word, not just on a Sunday or a Wednesday or whenever we gather, but in my mind, and you can tell me that if you have any different thoughts, but in my mind, people of the Word is 24/7, 365. It's every day of our lives. And so how would you describe to somebody that's checking out Southwestern or may want to know about Southwestern, why would we have the Bible? It seems pretty obvious that we're a church, right? We have the Bible involved, but it's more than that. It's making us a people of the Word. What does that mean to you? What does the people of the Word entail?
Well, that means that we're striving to live obedient to God, that we're listening to Him, that we have that relationship with Him, that constant relationship for counsel and guidance in everything we do. And like I said earlier, listen to godly counsel. That's something that I think our society tells us that we don't need to listen to other people. The way we think we've got it all figured out, and that's just not the case.
Mm.
We must listen to others that are maybe a little bit more mature we are in our faith, and so maybe we won't make the same mistakes.
Yeah, I had a thought when you were talking about, I had a thought about individualism that maybe we'll leave for another day, but I'd like your thoughts on individualism sometimes, because I think our society has gotten to be to the point where we don't need each other. We don't need the godly counsel. We don't need relationships, things of that sort. So I'd like to pick your brain about that sometime. But let me stay on the same path for a second. You've served in several leadership roles throughout your life, both in the church and both in the secular world. What makes church leadership in general different? So this is not a Southwestern question. This is just a church leadership question in general. What makes church leadership different than than secular leadership?
Well, Christ was our example, and he told his disciples, if you want to be the greatest among us, then you must serve. And that's as a leader, we are servants. We lead by example and by word. And that's just something that we must continue to do regardless of our age or our ability. If we get to a point in our lives where we cannot physically serve as much, we can always pray more. Mm-hmm. We can always help out in ways that, but just mentoring.
There's a idea in churches that I've served in before about this idea that you get to a certain point and you retire.
No such thing as retirement.
You know what I mean, though, yeah. Right? I mean, is that a fair assessment for a lot of people that think that, oh, you know, I taught Sunday school for XYZ years. I just sit back and coast now.
Yeah. That's something that God never did say, well, it's time to coast. Until our last breath, we should be serving him and glorifying him in everything we do. And that looks different for everybody, and naturally our different seasons in life. That will change too, but we should constantly strive to serve him, and that's by serving and loving others.
What would you say to somebody who doesn't know their spiritual gift? I mean, how do you determine spiritual gift, and how to use that spiritual gift at Southwestern?
Well, naturally, God gives us all unique drives and desires in our hearts. What the talents that he gave us. And so whatever that is, we know what our given abilities are. That may not, we should never compare ourselves with others. It's what did God do for each one of us. And so that's something, and we have to practice too. This idea of that all of a sudden we just have this God-given gift and that it's easy, it's very seldom is it easy. Mm. And it's just something that we have to work at and practice.
Yeah. That's one of the things that we really hope to do the next year moving forward is to help people understand what their spiritual gifts are. How do you use your spiritual gifts? And I think that's something that a lot of churches, are just trying to figure out who they are, their identity as a whole, and sometimes they don't get to the point of helping people figure out their spiritual gifts, and that's something that we really want to hone in on this next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, let's turn to scripture for a second, if we can, and talk about the 1 Timothy 3 text. I know it's a text that you're familiar with, something that you've read many times, I'm sure you've studied to some extent. And Paul writes to Timothy there about elders, saying specifically that elders should be above reproach, must be above reproach is what he says. It's an imperative. What do you think he means by, I mean, he goes through a list of things that elders shouldn't do and should do, but what does he mean by elders should be or must be above reproach?
Well, I think first of all that since we know that we are sinful, that we must rely on God on everything. And in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, the great commandment, first of all, we must strive to completely give everything we are to God.
Mm-hmm.
And then to serve and love others the way Christ loves us. And in that verse, it says, as your neighbor. But later on at the Last Supper, he talks about to his disciples about the way he has served them and loved them, which is complete. That's something that we must strive to do because none of us are qualified. Only through God's grace and mercy are we qualified to do much of anything, the Holy Spirit living in us. And a verse that sticks out in my mind whenever I think I was about 22 years old, I was reading the Bible, and the Holy Spirit talked to me. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do work-wise, work at it with all that you are.
Yeah.
And for God, not for man. And that definitely changed my life. because then I worked for him and I wasn't concerned about what other people thought because I was doing it for him. And that definitely changed my life.
That's good. That's a good word. Yeah. I think the word above reproach, the phrase above reproach, almost means blameless, doesn't it? I mean, is that fair to say, you know, if you know my heart, if you know why I do certain things, you might question my, I don't know, my actions on the outside, but if you know my heart, you're less likely to question my actions. You're more inept to think about my heart first and foremost. And so when I think about biblical eldership, when I think about what Paul tells Timothy, and you must be above reproach, you have to have a certain character about you in spiritual leadership that we don't often see in a secular world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that desire to serve and love others, put them first. Yeah, in our culture, we're told, no, we're first, and that's not what Christ taught us.
What does that look like practically for an elder here at Southwestern? I mean, we can go down the list and talk about prayer and humility and the desire and those kind of things, but I'm interested about James. I'm interested in your heart, and tell me what that looks like in a practical sense. You talk about caring and sharing for others and loving one another and all those kind of things. That's great, and I completely agree. But practically, what does that look like? Put the flesh on that for me.
Well, you're all in for Christ. You live your life for Him. That you pick up your cross and follow Him. And I know that a lot of people, when they hear that, that means a lot of different things. But that my heart is all in for Him. Do I fail daily? Yes, unfortunately. But that's why through His grace and mercy and asking for forgiveness and repenting the best we can with the Holy Spirit, guiding, directing us, I think that's what we must do.
Can you, I think that's right. I think that's good. And I think that's one of those things that makes biblical eldership different than leadership in the secular world is that selfless mentality, servant mentality, maybe that's a better way to say it, mm-hmm. is Paul calls us all to be servants. And in a sense, for elders, for ministry leaders, we're called to be first or primary servants, just like Jesus did. I think mm-hmm. about the John 13 text where it says that, you know, Jesus gets up from around the table, begins to wash the feet of those closest to Him, knowing full well what they're going to do to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And then He sets down and says, you don't understand what I've just done for you. Now you go and do likewise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great picture of what it means to be a leader in the local church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you as we conclude our time here today, can you share your heart about Southwestern for the future? You've been here 3.5 years. You've seen a lot of changes. You've served as a chairman of the elders the last year. What do you believe? What is God showing you? What is God telling you? What do you think the future plans for Southwestern are, or God's plans for Southwestern?
Yes, God has put a unique group of people together that love Him and want to serve Him and serve others. I think this has all happened on His timing. He has blessed us with about 8 acres here. We only use about 3 acres. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but through prayer, we will figure out what God is calling us to do. I see in the future a activity center, whatever that may be called, but where the community can get together and where people can love one another and share their lives with one another. The call is great. There are so many people in the world that are hurting that mm-hmm. need their Lord and Savior that we just want to provide that opportunity where they can come and get to know Him.
When you say place of ministry, your activity center, or whatever the case may be, and I think of place of ministry. I know part of your heart is serving at Celebrate Recovery now here at Southwestern. Can you speak about that for just a quick second, about Celebrate Recovery and why you choose to serve that way?
Yes, Celebrate Recovery is such a good program for people that are trying to get past their sinful nature in all the different ways to come to know Christ and to love one another. Yes, we're very pleased with the leadership of Joe Hargesty. It continues to grow. We want to thank the other churches that help provide meals. We've grown from about, there might have been five or six of us when we started here at this church, whatever that was, a year ago or so. And now we're up to about 25. And it just shows that the people that volunteer love everybody that comes through the door and wants to see what's best for them and wants them to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior and have that eternal life.
Yeah, I wonder if that's, you mentioned those 5 acres. I wonder if that is the activity center or family life center or whatever. Is that a place where things like Celebrate Recovery or, you know, the youth basketball, the youth soccer, all those things that we've talked about with ministry, if that could be a place that is housed here at Southwestern? To me, that's the exact reason that you would build anything exterior that,
yeah.
What's the purpose of it for the inside? And obviously, it wouldn't be just to grow another building or put up another building. It would be about ministry, right?
Oh yeah, and that's everything that we should be doing is to make disciples for other people to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and to have eternal life. We just must be all in for Christ, and if we love others the way that he loves us, then it's going to happen.
Yeah.
God will make it happen.
I would completely agree. Hey, thank you for your time. Let me ask you in closing one more thing. We've talked about ministry focused. You've talked about a little bit about your heart here at Southwestern. We're glad that you're here at Southwestern. We're glad that you've been a great blessing this last year as you've led us as a chairman of the elders. You've shared a little bit about your heart in regards to the 1 Timothy 3 text and also the future for the church. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd like to address? And then secondly, along with that, how would you or what would you do to encourage people to come check out Southwestern?
Southwestern is a place of where people love one another unconditionally. Now, that means that we do the best we can. Just come join the rest of us sinners here at church.
Amen.
And we will grow in God's love and care with each other.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Just come join the rest of the sinners. You know, when we read that, love God, love people, right?
Yeah.
We're all on the same journey, just trying to get there,
you
know, in different places sometimes. Yeah. But that's a good way to say it.
Yeah, we just need to meet each other where we're at in our walk with Christ. Some are more mature, and then others are not. And that's, like I say, just come and be a part of this community of followers of Christ.
Yeah, good. Thank you so much for your time.
All right,
really
thank you,
appreciate
Mike.
You.